our group, like I'm sure all the groups, had just a fascinating, broad-ranging discussion that I can't possibly do justice to, so I apologize in advance for the important comments on, no doubt, Matt. But I sort of clustered what we talked about in sort of two categories. One is sort of the definition and scope of nanotechnology, the issue when you talk about the standard ISO being nanotechnologies versus nanotechnology singular. And reference made to Terrence Davis in his report for the Wilson Center said, does it make as much sense regulating technologies as it does regulating things that are blue? Is that such a broad category? It makes really no sense as a focus for regulation. And so we sort of talked about that, and a lot of reference to the GMO debate on the debate between a product versus process. Should we look at each product separately, or is there something about nanotechnologies or process that should be treated differently? And as you know, in the United States, at least in theory, in biotech, we said it's the product, not the process. Europe took more of a process-based approach, although the U.S. approach is going that way too. So that debate's, I think, going to come up in nanotechnology as well, and we had a good discussion on that. But then there's sort of the issue of it's so big, even if it is sort of one group, it's such a big group of diverse products and processes and products that can we really get a good grasp on it? And some interesting ideas of how to might deal with that. One was, I guess, the International Risk Council sort of talked about frame one versus frame two of sort of passive nanotechnology particles being one category, more active and onward being another, that maybe we should separate them and deal with them separately, not put to side any of them, be dealing with all of them, but treating them differently. They're not all the same. There's very different technologies, very different risk and benefit portfolios, and we might need to be separating them out rather than grouping them all together. And then that sort of also led to a discussion on sort of from a regulatory context that maybe we should be having some kind of triage in terms of how we deal with these products. And that also led to not only based on risk, which we think are more dangerous, but which are more beneficial, and possibly even the idea of regulatory agencies like EPA signaling in some ways that the products that are these green nano products that are beneficial to the environment will get some kind of preference or favor that would encourage that and send a signal to companies to sort of put their money into that, and would also be better for building public trust because benefits are very important as well as risk. Paul Slovak's work of risk and benefits trade-off. If you think something has high benefits, you don't think the risks are so high, and so on. That might be an interesting thing to explore. So that was sort of the whole issue of the definition, what is nanotech and how should we treat it as a group. The other major category of subjects we talked about is sort of the geographical scope of regulation and the idea of international harmonization and so on. Michael Lesnik made the important points that governance, when we talk about international governance, is more than law. It's much broader, public trust, corporate regulation, self-regulation, and things like that. And that you can have harmonization without uniformity. It's possible to have more than one set of rules, but you could still work towards some kind of international harmonization. We talked about, does it make sense to even talk about jumping over national regulation and starting at the international level with regulations there first? Some advantages of having sort of an international framework is that companies, many of them are multinational in this area, they like to do the same thing in different parts of the world. There's a lot of benefits for both the public and the companies in doing that. And by having international harmonization, that would favor that. We could avoid trade wars where you get in place disparate national regulations and then you have a big fight about it later in the WTO or wherever. So there'd be some real advantages to maybe start at the international level, something we've never really done with any technology before. But there's also some problems with that. There's different perceptions of risk, the issue of different parts of the world have different views of this. The precautionary principle and REACH, for example, is identified as something that might be different in how the U.S. is going to approach this. And then also, building in things at regulation right now. We don't really have enough information, and we basically could be freezing technology and so on by putting in place regulations prematurely. A lot of focus on voluntary type agreements, that those might be easier to harmonize on a international level than formal command and control regulations, which might be harder to. And then we talked a lot about voluntary regulations of would they have public confidence in them, what do you do about the bad actors, and so on, but still a sense that that might be sort of inevitably what we have to at least start with. One idea that was put forward as an example was the Equator Principles that Mike Vandenberg mentioned, where it has to do with project financing for global projects in developing countries, where in response to pressure from an environmental group, many private and public funders have now agreed to these set of principles to do basically an environmental impact assessment before funding the projects. And that came about through this voluntary type thing. it sometimes gets put into law in terms of contracts. Often now that gets written into a contract for financing, so it sort of becomes legally enforceable, but it starts in sort of this more informal, voluntary way. Another idea put forward was sort of the idea of having a framework convention. We sort of have 1,000 flowers blooming right now of all different types of initiatives at the international level, which are all good and interesting, but is it too much? Or is it good to have all these diverse things right now because we don't have enough information? But maybe it would be good to have one more centralized formal mechanism, and the idea of a framework convention that was used for climate change and tobacco control and so on, where you start with an agreement that we're going to set up a process without a lot of teeth, without a lot of substance, but then gradually over time you develop the substance. You also have a process to meet on a regular basis, and you maybe set up a scientific advisory part that can provide, like the IPCC and global climate change, an authoritative international scientific view on this, that might be a model to look at as well. So again, apologize for all I left out, but that's a lot of it.